welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
I'm going to ask Mezen. She wants to just briefly share a really cool story with us.
Morning, everyone. I just want to share an amazing testimony, and if I cry. In 2010, Andre and I had a miscarriage, and after the miscarriage, God just overwhelmed me with so much love. I couldn't doubt that God loves me. All he kept saying is, I love you, and it was such a peace, and that song, Our God is Greater, just came out, and it was just resounding in my heart. Since then, 2011, we had a very quiet year, and in that year, we really wanted to fall pregnant again, and God wasn't really saying anything. And the two times that we opted for adoption, we wanted to go, we wanted to adopt, and then the first time we tried, God said to me, "Oh, really? Is that your plan?" And then Andre was strong, and he's like, "Okay, no, we're not doing this." And then the second time, God said to Andre that if we adopt, that would be our Ishmael, and he's promised us an Isaac, and we must hold on to that promise. And we're like, okay. And then in the beginning of 2012, at a district leaders camp, a bunch of the leaders prayed with us, and there God told us that we're going to have a child, and he will come in a time of comfort. And then God gave me a name. That our child's name will be Asael, and Asael means comforted by God, and whose strength is God. And then 2013 went, and we went to the doctors, and the doctors told us that there's no way that we can fall pregnant. There's lots of stuff wrong with Andre, and there's lots of stuff wrong with me. And in the beginning of this year, the doctor said to me, "You guys have been waiting for 4 years. Nothing's happening. You're not going to fall pregnant. You can't. The only option for you is IVF. And then I said to the doctor, "We can't go for IVF. It's not an option for us." And he said, "Well, then you can go for insemination." I said, "No, we can't. It's not an option. God hasn't given us peace to go through that. And I'm not saying that it's wrong. God just said to us, no." And then God just gave me a word of knowledge in that time with this doctor that's not very friendly. God just showed me that it's endometriosis. And then I said to the doctor, "But maybe we must just go for a laparoscopy so that you can just check what's wrong." And he's like, "No, but everything looks fine on the sonar. You don't have the symptoms of it. It's not." And then I said to him, "But I really think we must go for a laparoscopy." And he's like, "Well, if that's the option, if that's the route you want to go, then we'll go with it. But I can tell you now, it's not that." Then we went for an operation. And when the doctor came back into my room after the operation, he said, "Well, there was endometriosis. There was quite a lot, actually, but I cut everything out. It was all on the right side. You'll be fine." And then we went home, and then with my follow-up appointment, the doctor was so friendly. He was like, "Well, everything's fine now, and if your cycle is normal, then you're going to fall pregnant spontaneously, and you're going to fall pregnant." And I think he said it about 4 times. And I couldn't understand why he's smiling. I didn't know what to do. I was like, okay. And then last week, Monday, my cycle has been healed. I've been healed, restored, everything. Then last week, Monday, I was like, okay, cool, I'm going to go test. And then I tested, and there were 2 lines. I was like, really? I said, 2 lines. Okay, there's 2 lines. Is there really 2 lines? There's really 2 lines. And I phoned Andre, and I'm like, "I think we can start saving for maternity leave." I just started laughing. And then I went for a blood test, and the secretary phoned me back, and she's like, "It's positive, and you're pregnant. You're between 4 and 6 weeks." And I just want to praise God. And in this time, like, this family has carried us. Like, God has been faithful. God has been reminding us. God has been promising us. People have been having dreams and really holding our arms up, and sometimes holding our whole bodies up. So I really just want to praise God for this family, and I want to praise God for his faithfulness, because he's so faithful. We've received hundreds of thousands of promises, and every one of them has come true. And then the Tuesday, our house also got sold. So, like, God is really awesome.
Now, there we are. Another one. Hello, this one. Okay. Thanks for sharing so much. And so you guys can start saving to help Andre and Mezen move, because they will be asking. We know them, but it's okay. And then this morning, it's just a great pleasure for us to welcome Mac and Nadine, whose surname we can't pronounce. Mac and Nadine Adaimi, who are visiting from Cape Town. They actually lived in Pretoria for quite a while, and they served as missionaries in the Middle East for a number of years. They've been well-traveled, ministered in many towns and many places, and God's used them in mighty ways, and just such a privilege to have them here this morning. And Mac will be ministering this evening as well. At the moment in Stellenbosch, they're serving and just heading up all of our family ministry, so all of the marriage preparation, they oversee that, and the parenting course, and parenting course we present, Nadine helped to develop, and they're busy developing marriage enrichment courses for us, and divorce recovery, and a whole bunch of other programs that they really have a heart for families, but more than that, they've got a heart for the kingdom of God, and for his will to be done, and his church to be established. So Nadine, jy kan van die vooraf kom preek, anders moet allemaal hulle stoelen omdraai. But let's give her a hand as she comes up to share with us.
Good morning. I really feel like I'm completely disconnected from you. My name is Nadine. It's lovely to be here this morning. And I rejoice with Andre and Mezen. Where are you? They're gone. They're outside. Can we quickly call them? Please. This morning, we're going to speak on descendants. We are descendants of Christ, and because he is our Father, he expects certain things from us. He teaches us certain things. So he hands us something. He gives us seed in our hands, a baton as we know it. We're running a race, and he's saying, go and put this baton in the hands of your descendants. Okay, so that's what I want to speak about this morning. But I want to celebrate with you guys. And I really want to ask, and I don't know the congregation, I didn't ask Philip's permission. So if I'm in trouble afterwards, I'll take it. But I really want to ask anybody in this congregation that struggles to fall pregnant, they've walked this road, and I really want to call you forward if you feel comfortable with it. We want to stand in faith with you and pray with you this morning. Nobody here? Okay. Who would like them to pray for you? Yes, please don't all run to the front. Okay. But we rejoice with you and we celebrate with you that you will be godly parents to your newborn, and we bless you, Mezen and Andre, that you will carry full term and that giving birth would be very easy. Okay, we bless you. Okay, part of speaking on our descendants, I know that not everybody here are parents this morning. And if you feel like, oh my goodness, I'm in the wrong service, God's word is there to transform us. And I hope that the seed I sow in your life this morning, the word of God will come and cut between lie and truth in your life. And even if you hear, and you're just a youngster yourself, that God would restore your relationship with your folks then. But we are all called to carry a godly seed for the next generation, and to give and pass the baton on for the next generation, we need to know how God has positioned us. Move me down. Let's wait for the parents. Let's go. Parents, 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 parents. While we're waiting, I just want to say hi, Cologne. It's good to see you in Pretoria. It's lovely when you preach in another place and you actually know a few faces. We got lost this morning. The GPS didn't know where primary school Pretoria East is. So we were driving in circles and in circles and in circles. And I just thought for a moment by myself, I'm so thankful the Word of God is not like that. It gives us clear direction. We know where to go. I know how it is. The moms have to convince the children to stay with another lady to get to church. I know how it is. Okay, let's do this. Stand up. Is there anybody in this church this morning that you don't know well? Look around. Is there anybody like that? Yes? Okay, go to that person, say hello, and pray for them. Please do that quickly. Okay, welcome to all the parents. Okay, I'm going to repeat what I've said. This morning we're going to speak on the Father calls us his descendants. And when we are positioned in Christ, we will have descendants. And the reality of it is, whether you will have children or not one day, God has given you godly seed that you need to pass on. And today we're just going to discuss how to raise godly children, how to raise the next generation with strong boundaries so that we can give the baton in their hands and they can run the race with focus and diligence, skillfully, with a wholeheartedly after Christ like we've done it. But because of the break in between, I've asked Kewen, Warren, to... that we just refocus quickly. The first scripture I want to start with is Malachi 4 verse 6, where it says, the parents' hearts will be turned to their children, and the children's hearts will be turned to the parents. But first, a father's heart turns to his children. Jesus' heart was first turned to us with a dream in his heart, and he gave life to his dream. So can we just give glory to our daddy this morning, and he's going to lead us in worship. Please stand. Yes, Lord, that is the longing of our hearts this morning, that in our midst, that we will be able to glorify you today, And we want to say to you, thank you that you are our Father. Thank you that you are our Daddy. Thank you that you come and you transform hearts. Thank you that you have called us by our name. And that you have repositioned us. That your word truly is the light unto our feet. And that we never have to walk in darkness because our Daddy gives direction. We just want to thank you, Father. We want to give you honor this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Okay, so if the word of God says to us, parents, your hearts should be turned to your children, and children's hearts turn to their parents. But first, it speaks to the parent. It says, parents, it doesn't depend on the child. You need to turn your heart to them, and then their hearts will turn to you. Because when we were unsaved, our hearts weren't turned to Christ, but his heart has always been turned to us. Okay? And when God brings hearts together, it's for his plan and his purposes. The reason you have the children is not to spoil them. It's not only to raise them in your household. It's because God's plan and God's purposes said, you will have children because they need to be your descendants. But just remember, they were God's children long before they were ours. They were God's dream long before they were ours. I remember as a little girl, I come from a very feisty family. And I normally would go to God and say, why did you give me parents like this? And then God would say to me, for you to submit and obey and listen to me. God places hearts together for his plan and his purpose, okay? And that works with church exactly the same. Why are you in this church at this time, in this season, for his plan and his purpose, okay? When hearts are turned to each other, we can serve each other, we can give to each other, and we can share with each other. We can care for each other, okay? If your heart is not turned to your earthly father, would you allow him to care for you? He would most probably give you a hug and think, why do you hug me now? You were supposed to hug me when I was a little boy or a little girl. You're not going to share your heart with your daddy if you feel his heart is not turned to your heart. But our Father God's heart is always turned to us. And he says, I want you to serve me. I want you to care for me. I want you to come and give yourself to me. Because the word of God says, God has called us to be poured out as a living sacrifice. Okay? So see yourself. God shakes you up a bit and you become liquid now. And he says, okay, who needs help? I can pour you over them. Okay? We like putty in the daddy's hands if we say, yes, Lord, my heart is yours. I love a saying of James Dobson. I'm going to read it. He says, it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men and women. How true is that? It's so difficult to give a baton, to give godly principles, to set godly boundaries to our children when we are broken. Because we always want to operate from our pain or our hurt. When we're broken, we cannot operate from the Word of God and the truth of the Spirit. We always yield to, oh, I can't smack my child. I remember how my dad used to smack me. And that is why we need to speak this morning on how to raise a godly generation. And we need to reposition ourselves in knowing how to pass the baton on and say, my child, I've run a good race. I now want you to take over and run a better race than me. When we have decided to follow Christ, we've become a new creation in. In other words, you've got a new identity. You've got a new identity. I read a beautiful piece last night in the Bible. Can't remember where it is. I think it's 1 or 2 Kings. Where David woke up one morning and he longs for Jonathan. He longs for him. He's missing his friend. And he gets up and he says, is there anybody left in the household of, I think he first said Saul. I read it last night again. And they said, I think the guy's name is Ziba. Ziba is there. And Ziba came and he asked Ziba, is there anybody left, any descendant of Jonathan's family? Because I want to show him favor. I'm missing his daddy. Where are his offspring? Because I want to show favor upon them. And I truly believe that is what God is going to do with us one day. He's going to say, where are Mac and Aldean's children? Because they were my children. I want to show them favor. They were faithful to me. They followed me obediently. I want to show my favor to them. Amazing. Here comes this guy, I don't know how to pronounce in English, you know, the Old Testament. Mephibosheth. There you go. Okay? And he was crippled. Now, we used to live for quite a while in the Middle East. Crippled people get excommunicated by the community. People don't socialize with them. They reject them completely. So here comes this crippled boy. He says, why me? Hello, I'm crippled. What's wrong with you kind of attitude? And it's just simple. I loved your father. I was in covenant with your father. And I want to show favor upon you. So there's a new identity. Nobody's ever going to reject him again because the king has said, my favor will rest upon you. And he ate with the king and he lived in the palace. And that is what happens when we have a new identity of Christ. That is what it means, that he has taken us out of darkness and he gone and he placed us in the light. And he says, from now on, you will not be crippled anymore. I will give you a new identity. You will have my favor upon your life. Why? Because Jesus is your daddy. There's power in the name of Jesus. He gives authority. He gives favor. In order for us to disciple our children, or not our children, just children, we need to know and we need to be reminded what it means to be a new creation in Christ. Now, I have summarized it so that we don't have to read everything. Colossians 3 verse 5, it says, have nothing to do with sexual immorality. Okay? In today's society, it is very easy to be sexual immoral. And we disguise it under God's grace will cover it. I just go to Jesus and he's going to forgive it. Yes, he does. But we cannot take it lightly. Have nothing to do with impurity, lust, and evil desires. Okay, I always say to people, if you are busy with pornography, you can hide it from everybody. Nobody will know. But you cannot hide the spirit of lust. What you are busy with, that spirit will manifest in your descendants' lives. Because that is what God's word does. He transforms. It exposes. God's word brings healing. God's word wants to cleanse us, okay? It says in Colossians 3 verse 5, don't be greedy. Don't run after money. Don't run after the things of this world. He says, I'm your daddy. I'm your supplier. Just come to me. I want you to pass that seed on. I will be your provider. Get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, and dirty language. Okay? Stop shouting to the bad driver in front of you. Okay? Stop with your bad attitude. Because we can preach at our children. We can disciple other people's children. But if we have anger, if we have a malicious behavior, if we use dirty language, they don't even have to hear it. Your spirit will expose it. Don't lie to each other. Be transparent, honest. Become like Jesus. Holy. Righteous. God forgave you, so you need to forgive others. Okay? I quickly want four people in front here. Can I have all the ladies' scarves for a moment? This is teamwork. All the ladies' scarves. Okay, Mezen is the gatherer of scarves. Okay, I think we've got enough. Okay, tie them together. This is a real long one. Now, you guys need to tie them together. This is teamwork. Okay, let me show you how unforgiveness works. So it's very easy. You just do that. Just do that. Okay. Okay, this is why it's important to God that we would forgive. God leads her to streams of living water. Okay? God is leading her. Can you see? She obediently follows him, but she has not forgiven all of these people. Oh, there you go. She's not forgiven her brothers and sisters. Okay? So they tied to her. What happens? They will always pull her back, always slow her down. Okay? So now she's going to start and say, I forgive you and release you. And won't keep anything against you. Then we feel good about ourselves and say, oh, wow, I've forgiven this one. And then people say, but you need to forgive my sister. Then she says, no, I have forgiven. You can go. I have forgiven. Yes, only one person. That's still pulling her back. She still cannot accomplish the things of Christ. Okay? So forgiveness frees us to walk with Christ diligently. And then God comes and he says, no, 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 keep your scarf on. God comes and he says, fine, you're forgiven. I'm in covenant with you. Can you see that? I want to plant you in a church. I want to plant you in my kingdom. And now we're going to walk fast. Okay. So that is why it is so important for us to come into a position where we're in the light. We need to cut away everything that slows us down in passing the baton on to our descendants. How does a Christian household work? Do you know? Let's quickly look at Colossians 4. Thanks. It says, wives, the heading in my Bible, in the New Living Translation said, a Christian household. It works as the follows. Wives, submit to husband as it is. Read that word. Fitting to the Lord. How do you submit to Christ? Wives, how do you submit to Christ? Halfway, when it suits you. Wholeheartedly. Okay? Then we are at the place of a Christian household, not before that, okay? There's a scripture in the Word of God that says, when the enemy comes in, God raises up a standard. And you know what that standard is? We are that standard. And so the enemy comes in and God says, church, I need you to live on a higher standard. I want you to go higher. I want to call you closer to me. So come. And we're going, We just want to sin, be a bit sexual, immoral. Just want, swearing is very nice. I don't want to get rid of that. Anger, no, that's my personality. I get angry quickly, so. And we just move further away from the light. where God has given us a new identity. And we slip slowly back to darkness, so far away from the standard of the Word of God, that we convince ourselves we're still okay. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Husbands, so according to the Word of God, every now and then you can give her a good clap. Okay, you see that? Never, never treat her harshly. Children, when do you obey your parents? Always. If your child does not listen to you, he is disobedient, because the Word of God says always. I have not written out that whole scripture. It says, children, always obey your parents as it is pleasing to God. So, when my kids are disobedient, I say to them, do you want to please Christ? Yes, Mom, of course. Then listen to me. Because that is what the Word of God says. If you want to please Christ through your life, start listening to your parents, okay? So I'm just sharing this with you that you know where you need to maybe shape up or work at. God's heart is for families. Did you know that? God in His Word says He wants to bless us even into the thousandth generation. His heart is never to bless, to curse families. Why? In how many generations does the Word of God say He is willing to curse? Four generations. How far is He willing to bless? Thousand generations. But we need to live according to the standards of the Word of God. If we want to raise godly families, we have to lay down very strong boundaries, okay? And when you bring up your children according to the Word of God, it affects generations to come. How amazing is that? I'm going to bring my kids up in the ways of the Lord. What are they going to do? It affects generations after me. We know a family in the Free State, both her father and mother grew up in families that are both her mother and father and his mother and father were both in ministry. They together had seven children. Those seven children got married and have kids. That whole family, non-negotiably, serves Christ wholeheartedly. The uncle's name was Uncle Dolf. He used to get up every morning at 4 o'clock. And he would share with us, he has passed away a few years ago, that he would pray in tongues for his children, his children's children, the generation to come, from 4 in the morning till 6 in the morning, because he used to say, I'm prophesying things over the generations to come that I'm not aware of. But the Spirit of God will preserve it for me. Okay? Because they were diligently following the Word of God, following Christ. When you gave birth to your baby, or those of you who haven't got babies, when you give birth to your baby, you hold that baby, there's nothing inside there yet. It's a child with a personality and a calling and a purpose and a plan. But that child doesn't know how to speak, how to eat, how to operate, how to cope emotionally, how to socialize. Everything you as parents put into that child is what's going to come out. That is hectic to me. Eh? That is very hectic. Okay, so this morning, I basically would like to speak to the fathers and the fathers-to-be. For those who are fathers, I want the mothers to quickly turn to the fathers. Mothers, turn to the fathers. And even if you trust in God for children, one day maybe, then you also turn to your husband now. Okay? And you're going to say to him, you are a good father. Or you're going to say, you are going to be a good father. Okay? And as Jesus, our Father, gives us identity, an earthly Father gives identity to his children. Okay? I want to say that again. As Jesus gives us identity, our earthly fathers give us identity. So, when I know what my Father expects of me, when I hear his voice, it gives direction. Isn't it true? A father's voice brings order. A father's voice brings authority. Many times in our household, it sounds like this. I'm calling, Daniel! Daniel! Daniel, are you in the house? Daniel! Then Matt goes, Daniel! Yes, Daddy, I'm on my way to Mommy. A father's voice carries authority. It brings order. When your heavenly Father speaks to you, and you know sort of he's speaking to you, and then one night you have this dream, and you know God speaks to you. You can't wait to get to the people to make right because you know your Father has spoken. Am I right? Okay. So this morning we're going to speak on how to build our children's social identity, sexual identity, and spiritual identity. Okay? When a father speaks to his children, there's only five things you basically need to teach your kids. Okay? Only five things, because in those things you can build in a lot of things. They need to know that they are precious. They need to know that they are worthy. They need to know that they are highly esteemed. They need to know that they are bought by Christ. They need to know that Jesus loves them. Okay? I watch my kids whenever Mac sees their names, whether it's in a way to discipline or in a loving way, they respond. Their response to him is, they know they're worthy. They know they're highly esteemed. They know they're precious. Just by saying it, their name, they know all those things come with my Father's voice. When Jesus calls my name, I immediately know my daddy is speaking to me because I'm precious. I'm worthy. I'm highly esteemed. He loves me. I'm bought by him. Am I right? And your children need to know that there is nothing that they can do that could ever make your love stop for them. It's an unconditional love. They're going to disappoint you many times, but it doesn't stop your love. Okay? Their medals, their accomplishments, you cannot give a message to your descendants that they are more acceptable because they perform in life. They cannot. They cannot feel they're more worthy, more highly esteemed, more precious because they are clever. Because they play in Craven Week rugby. That has nothing to do with passing a godly baton on. I don't know why I'm on the button this morning. Okay, so what is the role of the husband in a household? He is the king, priest, prophet, and the judge. Okay? So when a father says to his children, you will amount to nothing, or anything likewise, daddy, you are a false prophet. Because a prophet only speaks what the father is speaking. And when you say those things, you are a false prophet. Because God's purpose and plans are not useless, will not amount to nothing. A calling will not die in us or our children's lives. And the effect of it is when our kids get bullied at school, which happens in public schools these days, in any school for that matter, there's a voice they need to hear in their heads. And it needs to be daddy's voice. It needs to be mommy's voice saying, you are highly esteemed. You are bought by Christ. You are loved by Christ. You are worthy, you are precious, and your child should go, you are lying. That is when we build their identity in Christ. When teenagers have the voice of their fathers in their ears, they will stand strong against the onslaughts of the enemy. It's a fact. Our boys in high school, he gets exposed to many things. Then he comes home and says, Daddy, can I have a chat with you? Because Daddy's voice is in his head. The voice that gives direction. The voice that says you're worthy. The voice with authority. The voice that loves him. Okay? We have to teach our children about their identity in Christ. How do we know that? We have to, as a family, and you need to start now if you're a couple, even start when you're single. Learn a scripture from the Word of God once a month. You're going to only know 12 scriptures by the end of the year. It's very little, very little. Okay? But for that month, it's going to be on the lips of you, your husband, your children. A scripture that speaks volumes to me at this stage is the scripture in, I think it's in James, that it says, when we are friends with the world, we choose to be enemies of Christ. Those are the scriptures I want to teach my children. I want God's word to be imprinted on their hearts. When they speak, they should speak from the truth of their spirit. Not worldly standards and worldly systems, okay? The second thing is we need to teach them what God's word is expecting of them. So the expectation of God's word. God's word teaches my children, me, to be humble, to be obedient, to serve others, to be a servant, to trust God. We need to teach our children how God sees them. We need to teach our children how God feels about them. And what is God's calling upon their lives? What is God's calling upon you as a couple? You as a family? Okay? We are called to have the attitude of Christ to begin with, according to Philippians 2. You can go read it. Okay, how do you build your kids' sexual identity? I shared yesterday at the marriage seminar. I speak to my son's friends and I always ask them, what are the things you would like your dad to speak to you about? And they always answer two things, sex and money. What are the two things fathers don't speak to their children most likely about? Sex and money. Okay? Because it's a no-go. Teach your sons and daughters about their sexual identity. When God created them, and the reason I chose the topic of build your kids' sexual identity is because we live in a society where society wants to convince us that I can choose if I want to become a man tomorrow. It's my choice. But the reality and the truth of the fact of the matter is Jesus has never been confused about our sexual identity. It's stated clear, man and woman, he created them. Boy and girl, he created them. Jesus is not confused about his identity, and therefore he will not implant confusion into our hearts about our sexual identities. And I know we always joke about God created Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve, but that is the reality. We cannot say, as the world says, but they are born like that. Okay, if they were born like that, then Jesus was completely confused. Am I right? God is not confused about our sexual identity. The world confuses us. The enemy wants to come and psych us up against Christ and plant lies into our mind and into our heart and say, you would like to be a woman. You would like to be a man. And we feed on those seed. Why? Because we've never been planted in the identity of Christ. And therefore there's confusion. Okay. You are planned by Christ the way you are. And sexual identity needs to be cemented by fathers. I always say, everybody always, most people say, Mika, my daughter, looks just like me, and she's girly like me. And then I'm like, no, I was a complete tomboy. I did horse riding. I rode on the pigs on the farm. I played in the mud. She's no ways like me. Then everybody says, but how did you do it? No, I didn't do it. A father does it. He calls her in the morning. Let me shock you a bit. Mika, she walked in this morning. He said, Mika, your dress. My kids went to church with friends of ours. He says, you're not going with that dress. That dress is too short. But daddy, the dress, Mika, is too short. You will not go to church or anywhere out of this house with your short dress. She quickly made a plan. He calls her in. In summer, we have a rule in the house. Nobody wears shoestring tops with bra straps showing. We're not going to conform to the things of this world. God has called us as a family to holiness, to represent Him, to be carriers of Christ. When we go, we represent His holiness. And if she dresses like that, then He sends her back to the room. It ends up in endless arguments. He stands His ground. And He explains to her, there are men out there that struggle with lust. And you're going to be the stumbling block. And the Word of God teaches us we are not allowed to be stumbling blocks to other people. Okay? So sexual identity needs to be cemented by fathers. Our son is not allowed to walk with the trousers without a belt. His underpants are not allowed to show. He's not allowed to walk around in our household without a shirt. We respect each other, and that is how their father builds their sexual identity. Respect. We're always carriers of Christ. Okay? And mothers, you need to allow father's voice to give that direction. I always say mommy's boys are only mommy's boys because they had absent fathers. So mother, don't be the obstacle. Don't be the block that their father cannot give them input. It's the mother and the father's responsibility. I almost want to use the word duty to be the first people to have the conversation regarding sex with their children. The father leads the conversation, the mother can sit in. And when your kids are there, it can entertain parents. The father needs to lead the conversation. It is not the mother's responsibility. And fathers, do not leave that conversation to the mother. Okay? We have to build their social identity. We have to teach our children how to behave in public. We have friends with three sons and they live in Bredasdorp. And whenever they came, all our kids were in primary school. They came to town, as they call it, Somerset West or Stellenbosch, the kids would come with, and they would run down the passages of the mall, and they would ski from the one side to the other. And then I go, Matty, please teach your kids to behave in public spaces. Then we moved to a rural area, and the first time we got to a mall, my kids did exactly the same. Okay, we quickly need to have this conversation. Don't just accept the way your kids behave as the correct way. You, as the parents, decide what social identity do we want to build. When our little girl was very small, she was extremely shy. She would hide from people, growl at people, and don't greet them. And Mac just kept calling her back, kept preparing her, said to her, so-and-so are going to visit us. Mika, this is what we're going to do. You're going to walk to the lady. You're going to stretch out your hand, look her in the eyes and say, hello, auntie, and you're going to say a name. And then you're going to do the same with the uncle. And if you're shy, you run to mommy and then you go hide. We have to teach them social identity. According to the statistics of the Wits University, the dad's influence on a child's life is 83%. The influence on a child from a mother's side is 17%. How's that? Hectic, hey? We need to put a stamp on our children for the generations to come. A question I get from parents that often ask me, when is the proper age when my kids can go sleep out? It's very simple. When your kids know how to handle fear and anger, they're ready to sleep out. Okay? Because people that sexually abuse children normally use this phrase, if you tell your mother and father, I will come and kill you. Fear. If children know how to stand up against fear, they're ready to sleep out. If children know how to handle anger, they're ready to sleep out. Because if that mommy and daddy starts taking the guns out and shooting each other, what is your child going to be exposed to? There's going to be a confused file going up. Mom and dad are teaching me this. Why are they doing that? Okay? And when they know what anger is and what fear is later on, that is fine when they understand what it is about. We used to visit people, and then my little girl came. The man is quite grumpy, and my little girl came to me and said, Mommy, don't you think he needs Jesus? And I'm like, he knows Jesus. She looked at me and she said, is that our Jesus? Okay? Because it's still confusion. Why can you be grumpy and not be nice to people? Don't have social identity. But the Word of God teaches us to reach out to others, to always lay your life down, to always help others. If this family isn't doing it, then the very easy and quick way I'm answering her then is, our surname is Adami. We do it according to the Word of God. We haven't got their surname. It's their choice. They know Jesus, but it's their choice if they're going to apply the Word of God to their lives. Fear paralyzes, but Holy Spirit empowers. And we need to teach our children that they can be empowered by the Spirit of God. And we, as parents, cannot allow fear to direct our footsteps. It's the Word of God that directs our footsteps. We cannot be so scared something is going to happen to my dear children. We have to trust Holy Spirit. We cannot make decisions based on fear. We have to make decisions based on the Word of God, based as Holy Spirit leads us. Yeah, I just need to say this. When kids have nightmares, it's normally the telltale that fear has slipped in somewhere. So when you have a young child that has nightmares all the time, pray for that child that God would set her or him free of nightmares. To build their social identity, men are allowed to cry. Did you know that? And they are allowed to show their emotion to their children. We have friends, and they had a little sausage dog. And this father taught his boys, cowboys don't cry. We farmers, we don't cry. So everybody loved the sausage dogs. You buy them by the meter. Okay? These sausage dogs died. So he knew his wife is very good with dealing with those kind of things with his children. So the kids, he went to the farm the morning and the kids went to school and he phoned her and said, I'm not coming back for lunch because he said, he realized, everybody's crying at the table. He's not going there. He loved that sausage dog dearly. So afternoon he came home and he thought, everybody's fine. Oh, it's wonderful. He asked his youngest son, don't you want to drive with me to the farm? And the boy jumped in and this little dog used to always travel with the father. And he said, where's, say, Pixie? I don't know the dog's name. And then he looked at his boy and he said, your mother didn't tell you, did she? Now, normally, I think fathers would make comments to their children like, if she would only listen to me. So he finally said, the dog. She said, I'm not the father. I'm not going to allow my kids to grow up that they all the emotional relationship come from their mother. And he said for the first time of his in his life, that day, he started weeping. He said he wept of his opa that passed away and his father that passed away. And him and his little boy wept about a little dog. And they have an amazing relationship today. Because the father allowed his heart to turn to his sons. Okay? Children should not be scared of their parents' emotions. Mothers sometimes lose it. Okay? They do. And then the kids just disappear to their rooms. We cannot teach our children that our emotions are based on feelings. It's based always according to fruit of the Spirit, the Word of God. Sometimes it goes wild in our household. Then Mac walks in, he says, everybody downstairs. Oh, then we know, here it comes. Daniel, what happened here? Nobody's allowed to speak. And he tells his side of the story. And his story is normally very one-sided. Mika, what happened here? And she normally goes, because she doesn't like confrontation. I don't know, Daddy. I don't know, Daddy. Mika, what happened here? Because he needs to teach her to have social identity, to have emotional identity. Then she tells her side of the story. Then Max says to me, Nordine, what happened here? Then I tell my side of the story. Then then Max says, whatever happened here, I don't care. We as a household, we don't do this. You're going to apologize to each other and pray together and forgive each other, and it's over. I don't want to have this behavior in my household again. Fathers bring order in their households. And we all go, oh, okay. I love you, my boy. I love you, my girl. I love you, mommy. I love you. And we're like, Danny normally, now he's going to know it. When Mac walks away, he says, mommy, we better kiss and hug each other now. It's like all over me. Fathers bring order. Emotions are that which we feel and think. And we need to have self-control over what we feel and over what we think. Okay. You are not allowed to manipulate through emotions. Because a lot of households are run, because the little one are so difficult, everybody, please just consider, I just don't want him to be difficult. That's manipulation. Teach your child about self-control. Teach your child that whatever he or she feels or think will not be determined with the direction this household is going into. Fathers need to mediate between children and mothers. That's what I said. We are busy raising the next generation. Read the scripture. I shared it with Mac last night. It is amazing. Psalm 144, verse 12. May our sons flourish in their youth like well-nurtured plants. What does a well-nurtured plant look like? What kind of plant do you think of when you think of a well-nurtured plant? Give me a name. Icebergs. Very hard to have them look properly, stand properly. What else? I also thought of an orchid. It is hard work. They need a certain condition, temperature, certain of everything in order to flourish and just bring a flower. And they're very expensive. Somebody worked so hard just so that somebody else can buy them and enjoy them, like a well-nurtured plant. May our daughters be like graceful pillars carved to beauty a palace. Carving, to me, sounds harsher like than nurturing. Am I wrong? It's true. Okay? We have to raise our sons. If the Word of God says, let our sons be like well-nurtured plants in their youth, we need to raise them. That's our responsibility. When they are youthful, that they are like well-nurtured plants. Go and read up the effort you put into an orchid. I did that. I closed my computer and thought, well, now it's much easier raising children. It is very hard work. Certain amount of light, certain temperature, certain soil, certain stick to put in. But that is what the Word of God tells you and I. Okay? If we raise our sons like well-nurtured plants, they will become men of character. Because if the Word says we should raise them to be like that, I hear, I will have a son full of the character of Christ because I was obedient to the Word of God. Remember, you are raising the father of your grandchildren. You are busy planting seed for the generations to come so that God can bring favor on the next generations. Does your son know how to choose a wife? You only get two types of women. Only two. Nothing in between. Go read Proverbs. A wise woman and the other one that lures you into her arms. The Word of God says that one you run away from. The wise woman you say, come to I, baby. Okay? So you have to have those conversations with your son. When you see that type of woman Proverbs speaks of, put your tackies on and run, my boy. Okay. Daughters are like pillars. According to the Word of God, the older woman should teach the younger ones, right? Right? Are we doing that? Are we? Is this congregation doing it? Trying. Trying is good. What will happen if the older woman talks to your daughter about the way she dresses and it's inappropriate? Don't be offended, mother. That is carving your daughter. I think most people know Kumi in Stellenbosch. She's about 75, I think. Stand up quickly and turn around. There was a young boy at church a few Sundays ago. And you know, the fashion, the underpants sit here and the pants sit here. And she went to him and she pulled up his pants. She said, don't you want to go to the bathroom? Because I think you forgot your belt. And she pulled up his pants. That is to have a well-nurtured plant. That is when our daughters are carved as pillars to beautify the palace. How do you dress your daughter? You have to make a stand in how you dress your daughter. It's very funny and it's very cute when she runs with a bikini on the beach when she's three. And I'm sorry if I'm going to offend people here. But it's not so funny when you're 33 running, showing your body off on the beach. What is the difference between a bikini and underwear? Fabric change. That's it. We are not, as Christians, supposed to be a stumbling block to the people out there. We should at all times be the carriers of Christ. If I go to the beach, I carry the beauty of Christ with me. I carry the function and the character of Christ with me. Is your daughter protected? Carving means it's not easy. It's going to be a challenge. Okay? Teach your daughter to listen to her father, not to backchat. She has to learn now already. Remember how we said what a Christian family consists of? A wife that submit to your husbands as fitted to the Lord. They need to learn it in our households. When daddy speaks, you listen. Because daddy's heart is to protect you, to bring life to you. Parents need to be firm, but we cannot be only firm without love. Okay? The backdrop of discipline is always love. Okay? So discipline can never be more than love. I did a bit of a research and I read that parents that are only firm raise confused children that feel insecure and struggle with depression when they're adults. So that is when you take discipline too seriously and you're too firm. Parents, loving parents with very little discipline, raise dependent children that seek attention constantly. They are spoiled and they can't take responsibility. And when they're adults, they're extremely demanding. They don't have social skills, okay? Loveless and not even firm are adults with antisocial behavior. They're rebellious. They're the ones that steal. So it's all in our hands. We have to do it the way Jesus does it. On a scale, love and discipline always has to balance out. Okay? When we're 50% balanced and 50% loving, we raise self-control, responsible children with a solid identity. I quickly want you to turn to each other and say to each other, what you have decided this morning already, that which you're doing, and you have to do the exact opposite. Sit six people together. That which you've heard already until now, in this sermon now, that you realize, that is what I want to pass on. I need to change this in my life or in my children's life. It can be very personal as well. So I quickly turn six people to each other. Okay. I'm going to read to you one last scripture. And I really would like you to read it with me. 2 Kings 5, verse 1. It says, the king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. Okay? So Naaman captured somebody else's daughter. It says a young girl. In Afrikaans, it says dochterkie. So I'm taking young girl would be anything up to 12 years old. I'm guesstimating. Okay? So he has abducted somebody else's daughter to be his slave. We call it in today's life human trafficking. Am I right? Okay? The wrong time for a computer to die, hey? Okay. One day the girl said to her mistress, I wish. Look at that word, wish. If you're a little girl and you wish for something, It's normally a bicycle or a specific doll. It's a longing of your heart. Am I right? I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. So the king said, no, you need to go. See, this king wants Naaman healed because he's a good commander and he favored him. So he sent a letter of recommendation with a whole lot of gifts and he said, go to Israel. But the amazing thing to me is, the message of this whole thing to me is, it's parents that taught their daughter how to honor people in authority. She's been a slave. She's been abducted from her own family. She's longing for daddy and mommy. Doesn't say she's crying. She's saying, I wish my master, the one that have now authority over me, the one that I'm working with, that is the godly principles her parents applied in her life. They have taught her that the things of God are far more important than the storms of life. I'm challenged by this. I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, Mika will not survive if she becomes a slave in somebody else's world. She will cry and moan so much they will send her back on the next ship. I don't doubt it for 1 second. This young girl knew her identity. She said, let me put it in my own words. Respectfully, she said, please tell him not to be so stupid because the place I'm from, we lay hands on people and they get healed, and just tell him to go there. Because my mommy and my daddy taught me so. They practiced it. It's part of my life. That's what we do as a family. That is our culture. She has learned to look out for the needs of others and to serve them. Never complained. I'm here, I'm now. So I see it as a young girl planted by Christ. I will serve these people. I will diligently follow their leadership. And I wish healing upon their lives. How amazing is that? Who has ever seen the movie The Perfect Storm? Oh, no. You are the next generation. It's an old movie. Go take it out. It's this movie with George Clooney in, if that helps the girls to make a decision. Okay? Yes, okay, you'll go take it out. George Clooney is in the movie, and The Perfect Storm is about, the whole movie is about the perfect storm. They're on this huge ship, and they're heading for the perfect storm. And the perfect storm says, nobody will survive. And that is what the enemy constantly come in and want to convince us as children of God. You're heading for the perfect storm. The storm will destroy you. You're going to die. And then you watch the next movie. Huh, there's George Clooney. But he died. No. It's a setup by the enemy. He wants you to believe you're heading for the perfect storm and you're going to die. But the truth is, God will make you strong through the storm. If you're faithful and planted in the word of God, you will have his favor for generations to come. And that is how and why we need to disciple the next generation, to tell them there was a little girl that has been stolen from her family and she discipled the people of an ungodly household. There's nothing in our lives that happened that Christ is not aware of, because he's the author and the finisher of you, your, and my life. He writes our story. We will not be scared to make any decision in any storm if we know who we are in Christ. If we know my daddy's heart is turned to mine, and I have turned my heart to him, and I serve him wholeheartedly. I serve his church and his people wholeheartedly. I build with Christ his kingdom. Why? because he's my daddy. And we're in business together. And he's called you and me to share in his business, to go and buy shares in the business of the kingdom of God. It's going to cost you your life. But in return, he gives eternal life, a life that never stops. And that is what we want to see for the generations to come. Do you want to sign up for that calling, that you will go out and disciple ungodly households for the generations to come? If you're willing to sign up, please stand to your feet. And I want to call the pastor of this congregation forward and his wife as the parents of this congregation that God has appointed. God has taken you from your earthly families and planted you with them to follow their authority, to serve them, to care for them. Because when they say your name, you know you're highly esteemed, you're worthy, you're bought by the love of God. Bought by Christ and you're loved by Christ. So this father and mother is going to pray a blessing over you this morning.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.